This message is brought to you by Cornerstone Gospel Church in Frankston, Australia.
We want to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6 this morning. Romans 6 is just such a wonderful passage for all Christians to look into and to study, especially on the subject that we're going to talk about here this morning. We've been doing a number of messages that are tied in together, and we're talking about part of the process of the Christian life. And as we think about that process of the Christian life, before you were a Christian, there was the cross of Christ. The pinnacle of all of human history is the cross of Christ. Your life has intersected with that cross through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And before you became a Christian, at some points and in various ways, you were introduced to the gospel message. And the gospel message, in summary, essentially explained to you your human condition of sin, that you and I have voluntarily committed sins and as such are alienated from God, and therefore the wrath of God exists against us. And as Paul says, we're in a state of enmity against God, which is not a state that we want to be in. You do not want to be at enmity with God. The gospel message came to you in that state and explained to you that though you are in that position in life, Jesus Christ came to earth as God in the flesh so that he could bear in his body at his crucifixion the sins of the world. And that then by you and I trusting and believing in the person of Jesus Christ and the work that he has committed to on the cross, his death, burial and resurrection, that he rose from the dead, that by trusting in this manner, that you and I are saved from the just penalty of our sins. Now, the scripture then says that for those who are saved as such, and that notice that we have not mentioned anything about being in or belonging to a church, no such thing. That's not the issue. That's a way secondary issue. Your salvation is not church dependent and it does not continue in that way. Your salvation is dependent upon the work of Christ Jesus himself. But at that point, when you yielded your life to Christ, the scripture says that you have become identified in Christ. Now, this is what we want to talk about this morning, is our identification in Christ Jesus. So we're going to explore this, and I'm going to read out a couple of fantastic quotes that will help us in understanding this. But first of all, we're going to read a great quote from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, or some translations say, God forbid. And it's such a great emphasis, you know, it's a strong emphasis about this question. Are we supposed to continue sinning so that we can demonstrate God's grace towards us? And Paul says, God forbid that we should even think that way. He says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, this is not talking about water baptism. It's talking about being identified in Christ Jesus, that we were placed into him or immersed into him. Unfortunately, the Greek word has become so familiar to us, the Greek word baptizo, which means to be immersed, has become so familiar to us that when we read the word baptized in here, we think of water baptism. And so it is by faith that you were immersed into Christ. So Paul says, do you not know that as many of us as were immersed into Christ were immersed into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through immersion into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. It's important to notice that statement that Paul makes there, and you should underline that little statement there in Romans 6 verse 10 in your Bible, and read it over and pray it over and study it over. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice the little word in there, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Our Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning, Lord. Thank you for your word. We ask you that you would take this word and, Lord, deeply, Lord, put it as an impression upon our hearts, and that we would meditate over it after today, Lord God, and we will continue to ponder this and take it before you prayerfully, Lord, that by your word and your spirit we might be transformed to the glory of your name. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, Paul makes this statement beginning in verse 17. Now listen closely to this. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Notice Paul is putting the responsibility for sin upon ourselves. If I do that which has already been destroyed again, if I do that again, it's me who's doing it. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's such a wonderful passage. Verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Paul, in summary, is dealing with an issue of legalism that's risen up within the church, and people within the Galatian church are being proselytized again by people who are trying to say to them, it's great now that you believe in Jesus, but you, as followers of Christ, who is the Jewish Messiah, now you need to yield to Jewish legalism and begin to obey this Jewish law if you really want to be spiritual. And this is often what churches do. You become a Christian and legalistic emphasis begins to be put upon people as to how they need to dress or how they need to behave or when they can worship. I know a gentleman who asks me periodically if we're still meeting on a Sunday, because he won't come to church and meet with us on a Sunday because he wants to worship on the Sabbath. And so he's so focused on worshiping on the Sabbath that he won't go and worship with other genuine believers on a Sunday. So at this point where we are with regards to our introduction, we're talking about someone who is saved. And the way Paul describes that person, he says that they are in Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the scripture says that you are in Christ. Romans 6 verse 12 on says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Now, at this point in your Christian life, there's a new challenge put to you, and this is ongoing. This challenge is a new challenge, and it's a challenge regarding your relationship to sin, and it's important for us to understand our relationship to sin now as believers. Now, listen to this quote that one man has said, the trouble of the believer who knows Christ as his justification is not sin as to its guilt. You and I are not condemned now that we're in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? So the problem for the believer is not regarding sin as to its guilt, but sin as to its ruling power. The guilt of sin is not over us. If you're in Christ Jesus, it's not over you. It was nailed with Christ to the cross. Hallelujah. So now the problem for you and I is about the power of sin over our lives. In other words, the quote goes on, it is not from sin as a load or an offense that he seeks to be freed, for he sees that God has completely acquitted him from the charge and penalty of sin, but it is from sin as a master. To know God's way of deliverance from sin as a master, he must apprehend the truth contained in the sixth chapter of Romans. There we see what God has done, not with our sins, that question the apostle dealt with in regard in the preceding chapters, but with ourselves. The agents and slaves of sin, he has put our old man, our original self, where he put our sins, namely on the cross with Christ. Chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. The believer there sees not only that Christ died for him as substitution, but that he died with Christ. This is identification. You see, when you yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in him, you, the scripture says, became identified with him by being crucified with Christ at the cross. That cross is a one-time event in history. Jesus didn't say it is almost finished. He declared tetelestai, it is finished. Paul makes it clear that upon faith in Jesus, the believer also has died to sin. And so our relationship to sin has changed. The guilt of sin is no longer on you and I. Now it's about the ruling power of sin in the individual's life. And you and I all know that is an ongoing battle. Amen? It starts in this head-heart connection. You know, when the Jewish scriptures talk about the heart, it's not just this seat of emotions as people describe the heart. It's not that. It's all about this realm of reasoning that takes place, because it's been shown scientifically that people don't reason properly if they're not emotionally connected to their reasoning. And so when the scripture talks about your heart, it's very important that we understand that the heart is not some disconnected from the head, that you can make these intellectual decisions that you're not connected to emotionally. Andrew Murray, what a wonderful man of God. He said, regarding this being, as Romans 6 verse 5 says, that we are united with Christ in the likeness of his death, Murray says, as the knowledge that Christ died for sin as our atonement is indispensable to our justification, right? Think about that, knowing and understanding that Christ died for our sin as an atonement for us so that we can be justified. All right, we all understand that. If you're a believer, you've come to understand that, and you know that you are justified because of the atoning work of Jesus. He goes on, he says, so the knowledge that Christ and we with him in the likeness of his death are dead to sin is indispensable to our sanctification. If you're going to grow in your Christian walk and learn to live a sanctified life, and sanctification is this process of being conformed into the image of Christ over the journey of your Christian walk. So over time, starting at the beginning point of your Christian life onwards to when you pass on into glory, over that time God is conforming you more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 8 it talks about. And so this understanding that you and I, that our life, we have been crucified with Christ, this changes the way we think about sin and its ruling power over us. Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul says, I have been, that is in the past perfect tense, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul, as he's talking about salvation by grace through faith and the issue of legalism in the church and saying to them, that trying to pull them back from this legalism that they were adhering to, he says to the church, I've already been, it's done and finished, crucified with Christ. Yeah. Then he goes on, he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hudson Taylor said, nor should we look upon this experience, these truths, as for the few. They are the birthright of every child of God, and no one can dispense with them without dishonoring our Lord. Think about that for a moment when we begin to add legalism into the Christian life, when we begin to think that somehow we have to acknowledge some festival, some season, some moon, some feast, whatever it might be. We're beginning to add to the process of sanctification our own works. And Andrew Murray says that this is dishonoring to God. He says all believers are in this same experience, that Christ Jesus has died once for all. And when we understand by faith that Jesus Christ has died for us and we put our trust in him, then you and I, all of us, were crucified with him. Were. It is done. It's finished. Can you get on that cross? It's done and finished. In Romans, Paul is declaring that we need to understand that this is our position, the way we are identified in Christ Jesus, is that we are dead to sin. Now, if we can reckon ourselves this way, if we can, this word that Paul uses when he says, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, this is an accounting term that we do the balance sheet and we understand that the balance sheet shows that you and I are already dead to sin. The payment has been made. If we can do that, the question then becomes one of how can we live as though Christ really did bear the guilt of all our sin? How do we live in such a way that the truth of that statement becomes one that impacts my life today? And impacts my life tomorrow, impacts my life when I go to work, impacts my life when I engage with my family and my friends and out on the street when I'm witnessing to somebody. How can we live in such a way that this spiritual truth of Christ dying for us and you and I being crucified with him, how can that impact me today? God's word tells us that though we were connected with Adam through sin, we have died with Christ. Paul says, your old man was crucified. That's not your dad. It's not what he's saying. He's talking about your sin nature, the person you were. And he says that he is crucified with Christ Jesus, that he has been crucified with him. We have died with Christ. What he's saying is that since you have been found in Christ Jesus, you need to understand that you shared his death unto sin. This is a really powerful point for us to understand, that our whole relationship to sin has changed. Sin over you and I does not have its power of guilt over us. Imagine you had committed some heinous crime and you go before a judge and you're sentenced and you go to prison, and every now and then, you know, the leader of the country, especially in republics this often happens, will make some kind of amnesty and he will provide pardons to people. And so the judge looks at your case and he looks at your behavior in the prison and he sees that there's been a real reform in your behavior, and so he pardons you. Now, did you commit that crime that put you in prison? Yes, you did. But now, through the presidential pardon, the guilt of your crime is washed away. It's taken away. And it no longer has power over you. People can say what they want, but you're free. By faith in Christ Jesus, people can say what they want, but you are free. This is why Paul says there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. He didn't say there is therefore a little condemnation. Amen? No condemnation. So Paul says that we are to reckon our present relationship to sin from the position of being in Christ. This is your present relationship to sin. Are you in Christ? Just show of hands. Have you placed your faith in Christ Jesus? Now you must reckon your present relationship to sin from the direction that the Scripture gives about your relationship with God of being in Christ Jesus as one who is dead to sin and alive to God. And remember that wonderful quote in the beginning that I read, the trouble of the believer who knows Christ as his justification is not sin as to its guilt, but sin as to its ruling power. There is still a battle. Paul wouldn't say to us not to yield up our members as instruments of unrighteousness, but to yield them up as instruments to righteousness if there was not a battle. There is a battle, but our relationship to sin has changed. Lewis Sperry Chafer, a wonderful theologian, he said, the theme under consideration, this is talking of Romans chapter 6, or Romans in general, the theme under consideration is concerned with the death of Christ, as that death is related to divine judgments of the sin nature in the child of God. The necessity for such judgments and the sublime revelation that these judgments are now fully accomplished for us is unfolded in Romans 6. This passage is the foundation as well as the key to the possibility of a walk in the Spirit. You see, what's happening in the Galatians is they're beginning to walk in the flesh, but they think it's spiritual. The Galatian church is a wonderful testimony of the grace of God saving people, but then along came people who tried to influence them into Sabbath, worshipping on the Sabbath and being circumcised and all these different kinds of things that they were putting on these converts. And so as they were doing this, these people were getting caught up into this, and they thinking they are being spiritual by observing all of these things, were actually walking in the flesh. And Paul then goes on to talk about that in Galatians chapter 5 as he explains the relationship between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. That walking in the Spirit, there is fruit that comes from that, because God produces that fruit from the internal work that he's doing in the person's life. But when we walk in the flesh, there are works that come out of that. And no one ever was saved by works. And those works end up resulting in fleshly behavior. The old self, in God's reckoning, was taken to the cross with Christ. That's how Paul describes that God sees you and I as being, if we're in Christ Jesus, we were crucified with him. That's what Scripture says. Amen? That is what Scripture says about you. Our sins were dealt with by the blood of Christ because of his perfection. But Paul states that we are dealt with by the cross. Another man said, believers in Christ were joined to him at the cross, united to him in death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. We died with Christ. He died for us and we died with him. This is a great fact, true of all believers. Now, at this point, we may ask, well, how does that work? You know, because I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. This can be beyond us, this kind of question. Suffice to say that as we place our faith in Christ Jesus, that God identifies us then as having died to sin with him. That's how we are identified. In Christ Jesus, we have died to sin with him. This is not the distinctive mark. This is the distinctive mark of the Christian life, the cross of Jesus Christ. Not wearing a cross. You know, there's a whole range of fashion out there, you know, T-shirts with great big crosses on them now, and it has nothing to do with Christianity. You know, there are huge disputes whether Jesus was nailed to a cross or whether he was nailed to a single post that was mounted. It makes no difference. He was nailed. He was crucified. Either way, he died a torturous death for you and I. Romans 6 verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So, beloved, you have been united with Christ in his death. The entire fallen, sin-ruined being with all of its self-intelligence, self-indulgence, self-desire, will, and all these things is judged and crucified. Just let that sink in for a moment. That's how God sees you in Christ Jesus. And it's not by any merit that you think you have. It's not by any merit that somebody has urged you to have in a church. Oh, if you just do this and do that and take this class and then have this water baptism. Water baptism does not save. We are saved by grace through faith. If we look at any other thing, we have fallen into a formula that is a formula of legalism. If you think of salvation as a mathematical formula, it is salvation equals faith plus nothing. And then the grace of God is applied and he saves. Legalism is salvation equals faith plus works. That somehow, and I've had religious people say this to me, and especially people from within the Latter-day Saints, or the Latter-day Saints, they're not on ladders, the Latter-day Saints, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, that they will say, well, it is my faith plus my works. I do my best. God makes up the rest. I've had them actually say that to me, Mormons at the door. I do my best. God makes up the rest. It's God made up the rest, full stop. God did it. One man said, if the difference between Christ dying for us and our dying with him has not been recognized, acknowledged and applied, it may safely be affirmed that the self is still the dominating factor in the life. So we can ask ourselves the question, who died on the cross? Well, of course, our Saviour and our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. But who else does Paul say was nailed with him? Us. Now, this takes a bit of work for us to acknowledge and to understand and to accept. Romans 6:5, for if we have been united together, and that united is talking about being united together with Christ Jesus, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. How many of you believe that Christ died for your sins? So that's not you dying for your sins. This is not what Paul's saying when he talks about you and I being crucified with Christ. It's not us dying for our sins. It is us dying to self-will. Why do we believe that? Why do we believe that Christ died for our sins? Any thoughts? Our scripture tells you, yeah. It's a little visual clue there. Scripture tells us that Christ died for our sins. Do you believe that your old man was crucified with Christ at the cross? Why do you believe that? Because God's word says so. It's not up for debate. God's word declares that we were crucified with him. I want to close with this quote. Because he died, Paul says, death has no more dominion over him. And because of our union with him, Paul says, sin shall not have dominion over you, even though it is present with you. This is a really awesome thought for us to think about. Our reckoning of ourselves dead to sin in Jesus Christ does not make it a fact. It is already a fact through our union with him. Our reckoning is to be true only. Our reckoning it to be true only makes us begin to realize the fact in our experience. So as we live the Christian life, as we have reckoned ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by being in Christ Jesus, this comes into affecting us in our experience of our daily walk with him. We see the majesty of God at work, that in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that 2,000 years later, when an individual has yielded their lives to Jesus Christ, that God takes that person and nails them to the cross as such, that they are found to be dead indeed with Christ Jesus. Your old self, dead, crucified with Jesus. That's how powerful the cross of Jesus is. That God would take you upon faith in Jesus Christ and kill your old man. And then he says to you that sin doesn't need to have its power over you. Reckon yourselves. Go through this process of accounting yourself to be dead to sin. And the way Paul does that is he takes this positive approach of yielding your members to righteousness. That's a really good approach to the Christian life. Some people, sometimes we can think, oh, how can I conquer this sin? How can I live in victory in this area? And we're so focused on that. But when we are busy for God, many of these temptations are away. You know, we don't have the time to indulge in self. I love indulging in self. I can tell you. I love indulging in self. So do you. I'm not alone in this room on that. I can promise you. You love it too. And the world of marketing knows that. They'll even use indulge in their advertising slogans. And the bank that one time had their slogan is, after all, you are the most important person in the world. Why? Because to me, I am. I just so want to indulge myself. And so when I indulge myself, sin is very nearby. But when I walk, yielding myself to God's purpose, I still will face battles and temptations, but they reduce. Because I'm yielding my members as instruments to righteousness. Hallelujah. This is our identification in Christ Jesus, that you and I have been, through faith in Jesus Christ, taken and crucified with Him. Our old man is crucified. So now our relationship to sin has changed. The nature of sin's power of guilt over you, which was justly correct, we had sinned and were deserving of God's punishment, has changed. That now we have this battle of sin's power over us. And that is the Christian life of sanctification. It begins with understanding that we are identified with Christ Jesus. Can you say glory to God? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll close. Thank you. We'll close with a word of prayer. Why don't you at this point just bow your head, consider these words in Romans chapter 6, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Our old man was crucified with Him. Paul says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are free from sin's guilt. That is worth thanking and praising God for right now. Amen. Praising God that you're free from sin's guilt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, this morning. We thank you that these truths here this morning are not the product of human reasoning, but Lord, are simply the revelation of your word to us. We pray, Lord God, that you would help each of us to understand and to grasp the reality of how our relationship with sin has changed in Christ Jesus. That He bore our sins in His body on the cross. Lord, and so many times we wrestle with sin and condemnation. Help us to be mindful, Lord God, of all that you have done for us in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, that we would walk in a manner that is worthy of your name. That you would sanctify us day by day, that the cares of this world would fade into their right perspective, Lord God, and that our care, the cares of our heart, would be focused upon you. Lord, strengthen us to walk with you in such a way that we would bring great glory to your name. This we pray in the name of your beloved Son, who yielded up his life for us in atonement of sin. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message. You're welcome to duplicate this message in its entirety for non-profit purposes. For more information and resources, visit cgc.org.au.